A Kings Island Gold Pass is your ticket to unlimited visits this year and all through 2025. Make the park your own with access to 2 years of tricks and treats, Halloween Haunt, and Winterfest, plus an expanded Soak City featuring the all-new dual racing water coaster River Racers coming in 2025. All for our lowest price of the season. Just 10 payments of $9 after initial payment plus applicable taxes and fees. Hurry, price goes up September 3rd. Get your Gold Pass at visitkingsisland.com.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature, whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes. Nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
Age garnishment or have had your bank account levied, it's not too late to call Legal Tax Defense for a free, no-risk consultation. Get peace of mind and security knowing you hired the best. Call Legal Tax Defense at 800-469-1635. 800-469-1635. That's 800-469-1635.
Now, it's Jeffrey Wright and Company.
Tell your story.
Live on Memphis's sports station, 92.9 FM. ESPN.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Jeffrey Wright and Company. My name is Jeffrey Wright. You can follow me on Twitter on X at JWright929ESPN. I want to thank you for listening. Of course, you can always listen on your radio dial wherever you may be in the area on 92.9 FM ESPN or 680 AM. However, if you want to keep up with all the content on 92.9 FM ESPN, if you're traveling and you just want to stay up to date, maybe you're on summer vacation, you want to keep up with all the programming here at 92.9. You can always do so on the Odyssey app. So download the Odyssey app. You can even rewind segments if you missed one. Plenty of great features there on the Odyssey app. So make sure you download that as well. My company this week is, of course, host of VSiN Primetime. Not this week, but he's hosting the morning show. But normally the host of VSiN Primetime, also the host of VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast, episodes available each and every week. Also, make sure you get ready to win big this NFL season with a VSiN Pro subscription. You can sign up for their football special and get the full VSiN Pro access from now through the Super Bowl with an early bird discount of $175. It saves you nearly 50% off the monthly price. With VSiN Pro, you gain access to the best daily bets, exclusive splits data, proven betting systems, 24/7 video content, and all of the VSiN betting guides. That includes the NFL, college football, which will be available on August 1, the Olympics, NBA, NHL, college hoops, and more. All you got to do is go to VSiN.com/subscribe today. Tim Murray, good day, sir.
What is happening, sir? Happy to be back.
Happy to have you back. It's been a tough one, bud. This morning, I had to make the call, and we had to say goodbye to my dog. Had to say goodbye to my girl Carly. It's been one this morning.
Yeah, we were talking about that prior to the show, and any dog owner out there, knows the feeling, and I want you to kind of take these airwaves to talk about it, because I think it's important. And I mentioned this to you prior to the show, but Scott Van Pelt doing the segment on his show about his dog Otis, I think kind of opened up the vulnerabilities for a lot of people, and recognizing that, and my dog's 11. He's my guy. I'm going to be torn to pieces when the day comes. He's got cancer. And I drove him across country 2 weeks ago because it's just so hot in the summertime. And, you know, he loves to swim and play at the beach. And I said, you know what? I'm going to do it for him, you know. And, it's when you told me that, man, I want you as much as you want to talk about it. And, you know, different people cope different ways. But, for me, man, like dogs, I wasn't a dog person before I got my dog when I was, 25 and freshly married. And I have become a huge dog person. And I can't imagine living my life without my dog currently or dogs moving forward.
No, and it's one of those odd things where I do understand some of the criticism when people say, you have more humanity for dogs or, we as a culture. And really, it's more of a Western culture thing. But, you can't take away from the fact that, you're feeling something. And I got her down in Oxford when I was covering Ole Miss. And I'm kind of in this, I've made a little bit of a name for myself, but it didn't really feel like my career was going anywhere. And you're sitting there going, am I going to be pretend playing Mike and Mike for the rest of my life? And, maybe hammering out some videos and stories on a website that 2,500 people, consume, which is it was a respectable life. But you're just kind of in a weird spot. And then I was I think I was 26 and you're just kind of, I think when you're a guy and you're in that in-between of you're out of college, but you don't have any money and you're not super successful, there's just kind of this lull that I don't feel like you really get prepared for because you've been told your whole life, you're special, you're going to do great things, all of this. And then you come to the reality of hey man, nobody's really that special. And we all are just trying to figure out a way to work. And so I'd kind of worked myself into this little bit of a funk. And I just decided for my birthday that year that I was going to go get myself a dog. And, I've never really been that big of a stuff guy. I have plenty of stuff. And so I was I'm going to get a dog and see maybe if this will help work me out of the funk. And I went to the Humane Society down in Oxford. And it's a kill shelter. And so I really kind of knew, I didn't really want to get a puppy because I just didn't really trust myself to train something, something from 6 weeks old on. I was hoping to find someone or find a dog that, had a little bit of house training so that it, would be an easier transition. And I finally locked eyes on this one. I called her a black lab-ish. Because my dad called her Heinz 57. He said, there's a lot of flavors in her. but it was funny because she clearly had some trauma because strangers, she would kind of run away. And so, when you're going through and you're looking at all these dogs, all of them are just hopping up on you. And I just lock eyes on the one that was in the back, just kind of scared. And I asked the attendant, I was like, what about her? What's her story? And she lit up. She's like, let me let you take her for a stroll. See how it goes. And you could tell she was scared, but at the same time, she kind of was warming up to me. And then finally they asked her to sit and to shake. And she did this little left paw move that my family's dog did. And we had this great love of my family dog. And I was like, I whatever it costs, I'll take her. And as I'm checking out, one of the directors of the society came up and they said, thank you. She's been here a long time and numbers are bad. And so, lo and behold, you find out hey, she might have been on the chopping block. She maybe doesn't even get this life. And, slowly but surely, life started to pick up a little bit more, had a little bit more success, found my way to Memphis, got on the radio. Met my wife, we got married, we started our family, and Carly was there for every step of the way. And it's just been tough because inherently I've known there's been something wrong with her. And I don't know how you are, but when I kind of know bad news is coming, I don't actively seek it out. And so, you know, when she would do her yearly checkups, they had mentioned, hey, you know, this liver number doesn't look great. But we weren't seeing any signs that she was struggling. Like, she had slowed down a little bit, but no more so than, you know, dogs getting older. And then about a month ago, almost to the day, it was June 17th, I just hear my wife screaming from the kitchen as we're waking up in the morning. And I have no idea. I rush in there and she's like, Carly's having a seizure. And I just kind of known something had been right. So I was like, okay, well, I had the day off. So I took her in to the vet and they're like, hey, you know, we don't see anything yet, but are you cool if we run all these tests? And I was like, yeah, let's try to figure it out. So kind of hours go by. That's unusual for this vet because they're pretty expedient and they're very good at like keeping you up to date. And then so finally around 4 o'clock, I called and was like, hey, is there any update on Carly? And then they put the vet on the phone and the poor woman's like, hey, I've called in, you know, 4 other doctors and, you know, we've been working to find anything else. But, you know, we tried to think if it was pneumonia, if it was all these other things. But we just think, hey, she's had a tumor. It either started in her lung or started in her liver. It's spread to both. And, you know, that's just where it is. And, you know, for the first like week or so afterwards, it she kind of had this cough, but the last 2 weeks, it just rapidly deteriorated at a rate that was just kind of alarming. And finally, I'm up all night with her last night, and you can just tell she's just absolutely scared, miserable, and she can't tell what's going on. And so I go in this morning, and I was like, you know, what do we got? And the vet's like, well, this one lung doesn't even seem to be functioning. You know, I'm not going to tell you what to do, but she's like, it is not going to get better. And it's only going to get tougher. And my dog really couldn't breathe. And so today I just decided, I had my mom with me and we're like, you know what, I'm going to say goodbye. And I thank her for all the good years. Like all the good things that have happened to me in my life, you know, post college have largely been with her. And I got this great photo. Shout out to my wife's friend, who's an awesome photographer. She took this photo like, you know, maybe 2 months after my daughter's born with my dog right over her. And at least I've got that memory. But, you know, it's been a tough day. And I am sympathetic to the people that, you know, don't understand why dogs mean like what they do. But at the same time, it's, you know, she was just such a part of, you know, my life story kind of. And I kind of hate using that because it always sounds blowhardy, but it's like, she's a marker of time and it's just kind of tough to let it go.
No, man, it's well said. And, you know, when, you know, my dog, who's, you know, we got him as a puppy. We adopted him. And, you know, you kind of, was the first moment that you kind of became an adult. You know, we waited until we got married to get a dog. And I was still working in baseball and was traveling a little bit. And then, you know, once we got him, it just kind of changed everything. It, you know, made me much more active and,
yeah,
and all of that. But, you know, when we got the call and the notification in March that he had, you know, mouth cancer, I was, you know, we were pretty torn up and we were looking for things. And I think ultimately the biggest thing that I came across regarding a dog, and, you know, obviously the importance to all of us, was that they live for today and not tomorrow. Like they don't think about the future, right? They're just happy doing their thing. So, you know, as hard as it is, you know, and it's impossible as it is, you know, you made the right choice. And now you just think back to just all the awesome memories and what they, you know, the journey. You know, I think about, you know, mine, right?
Like, yeah, absolutely.
Still have my dog, thankfully. We don't know how much more we have left. But like, you know, I think you and I are in similar circumstances where, you know, we both got our dogs. You know, I remember right after I got married, I was still working in minor league baseball, and I was thinking to myself, like, what am I doing? Like, I can't do this anymore. And shortly thereafter getting my dog, you know, I got a call from the radio station that I had interned at, for years. And they offered me a full-time gig, and it was kind of the start of things to come. There were still bumps along the road, but, you know, we would buy our first house. We would move across country, and, you know, yeah, it's impossible. And I know, you know, I could speak, and I know I'm, you know, the new guy on you know, the scene here for this week helping you out. But, like, we've been doing this a long time, and, you know, I have made it a point kind of on whether it be social media or on my shows to be, hey, high energy, keep it positive. You know, I'm not going to get into politics. It just goes down a road that just doesn't make sense and it gets divisive. But I do think there are moments, especially with dogs, man, that just everybody kind of comes together. And, you know, I do think to that moment on SportsCenter when Van Pelt kind of had that big 5-6 minute discussion about his dog and how torn up he was, and the overwhelming kind of response to that. So, you know, it's impossible to kind of put into words, you know, how you're feeling, I'm sure, today. And I think you did a really good job, man. I mean, and it's, you know, it's tough. So my man, I'm thinking of you, thinking of your dog, and you got the memories, and that's, you know, I think that's always the toughest thing too, is just to think about, like, you know, what your dog clearly meant to you, not only just from a personal standpoint, but, like, you know, for your life, like, yeah, kind of, it was a synonymous of your growth, and what your life has been and where you were clearly when you adopted her and where you are today with a family and a house and, you know, a career and all of that.
No, and I think the last thing I would say on this before we talk about something fun, sports, if you are someone that's going through it, like, and you're kind of, you know, you're depressed, or, you know, you're just going through it, I really cannot recommend enough. Like, I know there's great therapy options out there, but it's, like, it's now more accessible than ever. And I'm not steering you away from that. Like, you can do both, but, like, I really cannot advocate enough. Get a dog. Like, it gets you out of the house. It gets you on the move. It gets you thinking about something other than just yourself at all times. Because I think that's another big part of, you know, what we go through in life, is so much of it is, hey, man, nobody thinks about you more than you. And sometimes that can be a bad thing. And it gets your mind off it of a little bit. And I cannot recommend it enough, because I know what my dog did for me, and I'm very, very grateful for it. So RIP Carly. She's now up in heaven with her big brother Rebel. They're chasing squirrels, and this time I think they're actually catching them. So so she is missed. She's loved, but the show must go on. All right, so let's get to the topic at hand, because this is something that, you know, we're kind of experiencing locally, and the Grizzlies are now 2-0 in the Vegas Summer League, and honestly, I mean, they've looked pretty darn good.
G.G. Jackson balling, man.
G.G. Jackson is that guy where the ceiling allows you to dream big enough, but you're left with this weird question of, okay, now, like, it was a perfect situation for him last year, because when the Grizzlies had all the injuries and they're shuffling in and out, it allows this second round pick who's got all this upside to just play and take all the shots that he wants and just go out there. There was no risk. But now the awkward issue for the Grizzlies this year is going to be, okay, they're back to win now mode. Mm-hmm. And to me, it's still very obvious, like, G.G., you can dream as big as you want, but he's still a developmental project. And coming into the season, and who knows, maybe he just busts the door down and he makes the case for himself. But it still feels like he's going to be somewhere about 8 or 9 in the rotation. And so now you're left with this question of, how do you continue his development? Because if he does develop, he's the type of player with his size, his athleticism, his ability to shoot, his ability to score. Like, that is the type of player that everybody's seeking, yet it's going to be somewhat of competing interests. And I'm just curious, how do you think, like, what do you think about when teams have a guy like G.G., but they're still kind of in win-now mode?
Yeah, I mean, and I think, you know, thinking about the Summer League and the success, obviously it's just 2 games in Vegas. They are, if people are wondering, the favorites to win the Summer League right now at +350. But Memphis is kind of in an interesting spot where, because of all the injuries, these young guys were thrust into action. But they're playing here in Vegas too, because this is what the plan was supposed to be. They were supposed to come here and be a part of Summer League. They weren't necessarily right. supposed to play meaningful minutes, you know, this past
year. Talk to Shaq on NBA or whatever, you know, on the TNT show.
Yeah. So it is, I think if I put my Grizzly fan hat on, it's going to be kind of odd, because you saw these guys last year when things were tough, and now they're, you know, especially G.G. Jackson, he's thriving, but what's his role going to be, you know, come next year? But I think you're encouraged to say, like, all right, well, you know, if things do break down, you know, that you'll be able to maybe call on him for some more. And then I know the, you know, the big thing that you want to get into for sure is Zach Edey. And you know, the opportunity that felt like it was out there, do you get Donovan Clingan? Ultimately, it's Zach Edey at number 9. And, you know, how much do you want to see from him? But, look, I think at the end of the day, we had this discussion. I think we talked about it yesterday on the show. We've definitely talked about it on my show, is that someone thriving in Summer League doesn't necessarily mean they're going to be great.
Yep.
But if they stink, then you're like, oh, boy, we're in some trouble here. And for the Grizzlies, G.G. Jackson's playing well. Obviously, Zach Edey, albeit in a one-game sample, played very, very well. He's now become the betting favorite to win Rookie of the Year, which might be a bit of an overreaction. But and then you've got, you know, what is Cam Spencer? You know, what is his possibility, you know, now that he's, you know, playing well in the Summer League? So I think these are all good problems to have for a team that, you know, when you look at the Western Conference landscape, and we know how challenging it's going to be, this is a team that I think takes a playoff spot away from, I mean, the Clippers and Lakers, more so the Clippers than the Lakers, but I think both of their playoff spots are absolutely up for grabs. I think the Warriors, who lost in the play-in, I think their spot is up for grabs. You know, the Memphis Grizzlies are going to be a team that is absolutely going to be vying and likely taking that playoff spot away from one of those teams.
Well, I think that's kind of the other aspect is, okay, where are they in the landscape? Because, you know,
right, they were the 2 seed 2 years ago, but
correct.
was that 2 seed maybe just a little, I don't want to say fraudulent, but it was maybe a little too high. They're a playoff roster. You know, it feels like they're somewhere in that middle of, like, maybe of trying to, I would say, is this fair to say, and I don't want, you know, Grizzly fans to get mad at me, but, like, would a fair goal be, let's avoid the play-in tournament? Like, be the 6th seed?
Yeah, I think that is, I think when you talk to realistic fans, avoid the play-in is kind of the pass-fail. But we've also really kind of, you know, now in Memphis, you've delved into, you're kind of getting judged by the playoffs. And it's not even necessarily that, like, that 2 seed was fraudulent. It's that when you look at it, like, the year before, they're the 2 seed, but they win 6 more games. And you look back, let's see, this year the 2 seed would have won, because I think, like, that was the thing. Yeah, like, they win 51 games in that 2 seed, and that was the Nuggets this year. The Nuggets and the Thunder tied at 57. So
right.
It's kind of like the West in general was this kind of weird, mushy, and it's because, you know, teams were disappointing. Yeah, I think that's kind of where you look at it. Like,
you got to ask yourself, too, like, this year in the West, and obviously it's July, so we're not totally there yet, but, like, all right, who's ascending? Oklahoma City got better. Denver, I think, got slightly worse. However, they still have arguably the best player on the face of the earth on their roster. They're not dropping off. Minnesota should be stronger. I think what they did, not a lot of money, but they traded up into the number 8 spot to acquire they got Dillingham, right?
Yep.
And then they also got Terrence Shannon. So, like, I felt like they did a decent amount. Clippers have gotten worse. Mavericks, I'm not crazy about the Clay move. However, I don't think it hurts them. Phoenix, I don't know what the hell they're going to be. Lakers didn't get any better. Pelicans got better, got in DeJounte Murray. Kings got better, bringing in DeMar DeRozan. Warriors got worse. Rockets are just young and hungry. And then, you know, what are the Spurs going to be? I think that's kind of the big wild card of the teams that didn't really vie for any playoffs. Houston and the Spurs, in addition to the Grizzlies, like, what step do the Spurs make, you know, this year? Getting Castle with the fourth overall pick, but then trading away the eighth overall pick. Like, they could have got much better, it feels like, with the eighth pick, but they're like, nah, we're still not there yet, you know?
It still feels like they are still viewing... To me, there's three teams in the West that are not viewing this as competitive seasons. It seems to me the Jazz, the Blazers, and still the Spurs. Now, the one caveat with the Spurs is, what if Wembanyama just really is that undeniable?
And we saw glimpses of that. I leave room for it.
I'm not asking that like in the hype. Like, I do leave room for he might just be like that special that even when you're trying to not be good, that you can't really help it.
Yeah, and I think about, like, you know, does Chris Paul really move the needle? Not really, but
I kind of like it in the sense of, like,
you bring in him, you bring in Harrison Barnes, you're like, okay, I kind of see what they're doing here. Like, they're not spending like the Rockets spent 2 years ago going to get Dylan Brooks and the guy from Toronto whose name is escaping me right now.
Sengun.
Yeah. So I look at that, yeah. I think the Spurs are the absolute wild card. Van Vliet, I'm sorry.
Yeah, Fred Van Vliet.
Completely forgot. But yeah, the Spurs are the one that you're like, ah, what if they did make the play-in? Like, would it be crazy? I mean, it would be like a...
No.
It would be a 20-game jump, but we're talking about maybe the best prospect we've seen since LeBron and one of the most impactful players. Like, you got to remember too, what the thing that keeps sticking with me about the Spurs this year is that the Denver Nuggets were trying to win and he single-handedly beat them in the last week of the season.
No, I mean, to me, like, that it's, I always leave room for special being special. Now, like, that is a massive jump.
Massive jump.
And so, like, I leave room for it, but, like, I'm still going to say if I'm dealing in the realm of likelihood, I'm still putting it as unlikely because it still seems to me they don't really want to be competitive. But if we look up and, you know, we're in January and you realize, like, hey, man, this team's five games over 500, like, I'm not stunned. So really kind of I look at it in this – to me, it's like I'm a big tiers guy because I think far too often we get so focused on ranking. And to me, it's like – that can kind of go away when you get to the playoffs. Like, you know, this is a two seed versus a one. I think you're right. I think it has to start with Oklahoma City. I still am kind of in this mode of I think they clearly got better. There's, like, no denying that. But they still kind of have to, like, get over that hump. Like, we saw, you know, in the end, they dismantle the Pelicans in, you know, I think only one game was competitive. And then they get into a series where they didn't shoot the basketball well. P.J. Washington, like, played the series of his life, and they get knocked out. But that is kind of similar to what happened to the Grizzlies' Jaws' first real playoff run. They knock out the Timberwolves in six, which was a much more competitive series than that Pelicans series. And then they gave the Warriors as good of a series as anyone else did. The Celtics took them to six. The Grizzlies took them to six. But that's kind of about it. Like, to me, like, this is a big year for the Thunder because I'm always curious, like, what happens when you have that taste of success, but it comes up flat? Like, how do you treat this year? But to me, they're clearly still ahead.
Yeah, and I think they were ahead of schedule last year. I love their offseason. I know it's been overwhelmingly applauded, and I'm part of that. Like, I think getting Caruso for Giddy and not giving up any draft compensation. I think the thing about Oklahoma City, when you look at them, it's just like, I'm trying to think back. There was a Simpsons episode where the mafia was fighting someone, there was like a fight happening on the Simpsons lawn, and Homer's like, but that guy over there hasn't done anything yet.
Yeah.
And then he closes the door and he is like a ninja or something like that. I feel like that's Oklahoma City. I'm like, well, they have all these picks. What are they going to do with these picks? I'm so intrigued when Sam Presti's just going to be like, yeah, you know what? I'm going to use all these picks now. And, you know, with the 12th overall pick, they went out and drafted the kid with a high upside who's got the torn ACL. I believe it was Jovic.
Yep.
So he's probably not going to play this year. But it was like a classic Thunder pick.
Yes.
So you get Caruso, you've got Hartenstein, who, yeah, maybe you overpaid for, but he makes total sense from like the physicality standpoint.
And you are afforded the luxury of overpaying for him because you've got two studs that are still on cheap deals.
Yeah, I mean, you've got one of the best players in the world on Shea, SGA on your roster. So look, Oklahoma City, it just feels like. You know, I know Steph, when he was out here with Team USA, said there's never going to be another dynasty, that the Warriors were the last dynasty. And I think there's an argument to be had that he might be accurate. But what's brewing, like we were talking about it off air, I was like, should I go see Twisters? Like there's a cloud like swirling around Oklahoma City right now.
By the way, that movie's set in Oklahoma.
This thing really could take off, and we could be talking about a sustained franchise with assets. It seems like they're you know, in this second apron world, they're set from a standpoint of financial flexibility right now. Like they've got, I don't know what their ultimate, like who that person is that they want to go get, but it just feels like Sam Presti's just like waiting there, like an evil scientist. Like, I know what I'm going to get. I'm just not telling you what I'm going to get.
Yeah, and to me, the only problem I have with there won't be any dynasties. I can see his point if we live in this second apron world in perpetuity, because there's always going to come a point where everyone's going to, like, you can't keep paying everybody anymore. But I mean, doesn't the CBA only last, like, I think there's an opt-out after 5 years. Like, we've seen what owners do, which is they do something that protects themselves, and then they realize they don't like it, and they toss it aside. And so, you know, you can't predict, like, what the cap limitations aren't going to be beyond, like, 5 years.
Yeah, and especially with this new deal that just came down, like, they were just trying to avoid that perfect storm that happened after the 2017 season when KD went to Golden State. It was the 2016 season, right?
Yeah, it was the 16 season.
After the 16 season, it was just this perfect storm where the Warriors played it perfectly. This cap space opened up, and they were able to sign KD to that roster. So they're trying to avoid that. I'm not smart enough to tell you what the hell the second apron's doing. I know that, you know, once you get past it, there's just essentially no flexibility whatsoever. But
as long as you are a cash rich team, and if you're good, like Boston's the perfect spot. Like they don't care about it. What you're going to knock them from? You know what? Let's say they don't win the title this year. But like, what do either of us think they're not getting to the Eastern Conference Finals? So okay, instead of picking 26th, like they're going to pick 30, and then there's the financial penalty. But if they're raking in the money, like it's kind of one of those things where, but if you're a team like Memphis, like A, you can't afford to pay the tax, even though Para is rich, it's still, you know, you can't afford to pay the tax at that level. So it's yeah. And like, to me, the other thing that always gets left out of the whole, you know, Durant to the Warriors thing is part of that story is the fact that because Steph had the ankle issue when he was due his extension, like he only got $44 million. So they have this like unique moment in time where they could afford it. But, you know, to me, like, that's the other thing. It's like, well, what if Wembanyama is, you know, a generational player? I mean, to me, the thing is we can, because I went back and looked, starting, if you really start, like, in the 70s,
the dominant players of each generation pretty much control it. And so, like, let's just go with the 80s for the sake of ease. It's like Bird and Magic account for, I think, 9 of 10 championships in that decade. In the 90s, Jordan accounts for
six
titles. He's not available for four of them. He was available for one of them, not available for three of them. Okay? In the 2000s, Kobe and Shaq account for, I think, six of the titles, and then the Spurs account for that. The Spurs into the next generation. So then you have LeBron accounting for three, the Warriors accounting for three, the Spurs pick off another, and then you get one with Kawhi again. But still, it's like Kawhi gets two titles. To me, like the question I really have as we head into this kind of this post-LeBron, Durant, that generation exiting is, who are the defining players of this generation going to be? Because I think that's the question. That's going to tell us more about the title teams than what we've seen thus far. Because, okay, you get the LeBron bubble championship, but, like, I don't know, it's like that was such a unique point in time. Like, I'm just kind of leaving it as an outlier. Giannis gets one. Steph, the Warriors, I kind of think, got, like, their Tiger at Augusta.
Masters,
yeah, you know, the Jack in 86 Masters, the Tiger in 2019. They get that Masters where it's like the all-time great team dug deep and was able to dig it out again. Then we see Giannis, Jokic, and now the team that appears to be like have the best roster construction. To me, it's going to be like, who else is going to kind of, are we going to be in this weird, I guess that's the question. It's like, are we in an era where the transcendent player has less of an impact on championships because the talent's been spread more widely? Or are we still in this transition period waiting to see who the dominant players are going to be?
I mean, Nikola Jokic, we thought early on in the Western Conference playoffs, it was just destined that Denver would be taking on Boston, right?
Yeah, I mean, after the Lakers series, it felt like we were destined to get to
and then they came,
Boston, you know, and Denver.
Then they were down 0-2, and then they took a 3-2 lead, and you're like, all right, here we go. So I think Boston obviously is the rightful favorite heading into next year, but we tend to do this where we just, you know, say teams are kind of like, I'm not ready to get rid of Nikola Jokic and the Denver Nuggets. You know, they went 57-25. They were one of the most dominant champions we've seen in recent memory in that run to the title. And then, you know, you've got the naysayers. Well, you know, they didn't face a higher seed, and they faced the Lakers in the conference finals and then the Heat in the championship. But I think Nikola Jokic is definitely going to win another championship, if not multiple. I just think he's that talented of a player. And the one team that really intrigues me, and they just made a signing, they just got Gary Trent Jr., is the Bucks. Like, I didn't understand their moves in the draft. They got like two young upside guys that aren't going to contribute right away. And it feels like they're kind of in a, we got to win now type of mode. But yeah, I think when you look around the NBA, you look at, you know, the Nova Knicks, you've got now the Sixers, they make the biggest splash this offseason, bringing in Paul George. You've got three, you've kind of got a true, as close as it feels like we're going to get to that, like, big three in Philadelphia, where you've got Maxey, Embiid, and George. And, like, can that team, you know, do what we saw for a stretch where we saw the Heat, then the Warriors do that big three thing. So it's kind of unique where you've got a lot of different teams and how they're made up, and how it's like you've got Jokic and Murray in Denver. You've got the best true team with two superstars, but, you know, two other dudes that are on the Olympic team in Boston. So I think the makeup for the NBA is incredibly fascinating. And I think Boston's a step above, but I don't think they're untouchable, if that makes sense.
All right, here's what we're going to do. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to hammer out where we think the Grizzlies are in the pecking order, because I'm going to make the case that
I think I
feel pretty solidly in where I would slot the Grizzlies in. We'll do that when we come back right here on Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM.
A Kings Island Gold Pass is your ticket to unlimited visits this year and all through 2025. Make the park your own with access to 2 years of tricks and treats, Halloween Haunt, and Winterfest. Plus, an expanded Soak City featuring the all-new dual racing water coaster River Racers coming in 2025. All for our lowest price of the season. Just 10 payments of $9 after initial payment plus applicable taxes and fees. Hurry, price goes up September 3rd. Get your Gold Pass at visitkingsisland.com.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature, whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes. Nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
This season, Instacart has your back to school. As in, they've got your back to school lunch favorites like snack packs and fresh fruit. And they've got your back to school supplies like backpacks, binders, and pencils. And they've got your back when your kid casually tells you they have a huge school project due tomorrow. Let's face it, we were all that kid. So first, call your parents to say, I'm sorry. And then download the Instacart app to get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes all school year long. Get a $0 delivery fee for your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
ESPN. More, also an interesting story from Brett McMurphy about Florida State. We'll work that in maybe with some SEC media days. But wanted to continue the conversation about the Grizzlies because Tim and I didn't really get to this aspect. Like, a huge part of Summer League for me is it's been Zach Edey, but now we're on a fourth consecutive game with no Edey. And it's kind of a gut punch in the sense that it's what I'm most interested in because I think he is, you can make a legitimate argument. He may not be the Grizzlies' fourth best player next season, but he could be the fourth most impactful player because there is not anyone else on the roster that mimics what he does. Like, they don't have another true big five. And when you consider what in my mind optimizes the Grizzlies, if you get the big brawny five that can set the high pick, give Ja some space, roll to the basket, like that offensively gives them something that even Steven Adams didn't get because Steven offensively was just kind of a non-factor for the most part. And further, like, you don't have to worry about, hey, if he gets fouled, he can't shoot free throws. Like, Edey can get to the line and still score. That gives you points that way. The other thing is, if he continues to be like an additional rim protector and an elite rebounder, that only maximizes Jaren Jackson Jr. He doesn't have to do everything on the defensive end. He gets to roam more freely and kind of cause havoc. And so if he is solid in what they need, if he can do those things, that makes the Grizzlies, to me, a better team than I think what people are going to expect. Because one of the other big things that I do like about the Grizzlies is this kind of, you know, getting popped by the Lakers, getting embarrassed and kind of having to wear it like they did, and then having the year that they've had. And in the NBA, to the point that you were making last segment, like, we are kind of the ultimate prisoners of the moment in the NBA. It's like out of sight, out of mind, quickly as possible. I think the Grizzlies are going to kind of go back to a role that's a lot more comfortable for them. The role of being the chaser and being the hunter rather than having the target on the back and saying, you know, okay, come get us. And to me, like, that's a big spot for them in the West because
I think presuming that the jaw, the shoulder is not really that big of a deal, like you're returning a guy that, you know, we only saw it for 9 games last year, but he reminded everyone really quickly, like when he's back on the floor, you're like, oh my God, this guy is a true difference maker. And now you're asking everyone to slot back down a role. Like Jaren doesn't have to carry the offense like he did for this team last year. Desmond Bane's not going to have to try to create his own shot, you know, from essentially playing point guard. And now everyone's role just starts to fit a little bit more easily. You get to test out the theory that Marcus Smart was going to be a difference maker for you. And it's one of those things where I'm not slotting them ahead of Denver. I'm not slotting them ahead of Oklahoma City. And if you want to include the Timberwolves in that, I'm okay with that. But I think they're in that hodgepodge, and I don't really favor anyone particularly over the other. I think they're in the hodgepodge of Mavericks. I'm interested to see the Kings. The Kings are that team, though, to me. It's like they're fun, but I don't know if I believe in them. Is that fair?
So the way I tiered it out during the break.
They're in that second tier to me, and I have like four teams in there.
So Memphis is in the second tier for me. My top tier would be Oklahoma City, Denver, and Minnesota. Based off of betting odds, the tiers would be Oklahoma City, Denver, Dallas, and Minnesota.
Yeah.
I think I'm with you. I think Dallas is more in the Memphis world. I think the next tier, you could really debate a bunch of different teams, but I have Dallas, Memphis, New Orleans. I threw Phoenix in there. I still think that they have a possibility of what that upside could be. I don't think they're in the same ballpark as the top three, in my opinion. But, you know, with Beal, with KD, if he's healthy, and then with Devin Booker, Grayson Allen can be a really good shooter and all of that. But, yeah, I think Memphis is right there with all of those teams. I would have the Lakers not part of that tier. I think they did not get in better. I mean, we'll see what Dalton Kinect brings to the table. He seems like he'll fit that system pretty well with J.J. Redick talking about how much they want to shoot threes. And, you know, I know it's the Olympics, but, like, AD right now is playing maybe the best basketball of his life. Like, he is crushing it with Team USA. LeBron's 40. Is he going to continue to be Superman? But I don't know. Like, I think that second tier, you could kind of interchange a bunch of different people. I didn't put Sacramento in there. I think you could, but I think I left them out. And then I kind of had a last tier of, like, aging teams, which was Golden State, the Lakers, and the Clippers. And maybe the Clippers might honestly, man, start to be drifting into the, like,
what are we doing here?
Jazz Blazers tier. Like, this team, if you've got 41.5 is their over under right now at DraftKings, I think the Clippers are not a 500 basketball team.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. And to me, my thing is, when you're talking about the Mavericks, like, I understand the idea of Klay. Like, Klay, despite having a bad year, he still, I think, shot over 40% from three. And the thought is, okay, now that he's going to have open looks from Luka, like, that's going to lift us. The problem, though, that I see is, okay, well, Luka and Kyrie are both kind of non-defenders. Like, you know what I mean? Like, traffic cone status. Are we really sure, like, Klay's just going to guard the best guy every night and then he's still going to be this elite offensive player? Like, that feels like a stretch to me.
Yeah. No, I would agree with that.
The other thing, though, that I've kind of found interesting about the West, and I'm curious to know how you feel about it. Maybe this is also me falling victim to prisoner of the moment, but when I just look at the depth of Boston, my thing with the West is I think there are more good teams which make the regular season and make the playoffs difficult to advance because there's so many similar teams. But right now, especially with Denver in this weird spot where you've got Porter on this contract, Like, yeah, you've got Murray, but Murray kind of had an up and down playoffs. He had some big moments, but he really wasn't all that consistent. Jokic is Jokic. I don't really see right now the team that I go, that's the team that I would want to see in a seven game series with Boston, and I think that they would, you know, that they would be equal foes.
I agree, man, and I think when you think back to 2 years ago, they're, you know, they've had to get rid of these glue pieces, whether it was Bruce Brown 2 years ago, you know, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope going and getting, you know, a big contract with Orlando. You still have Nikola Jokic, who, for my money, is the best player in the world, but you're starting to see. You need Michael Porter to live up to that contract, and he was awful during the playoffs this year, and he had moments during their run to the championship where he was pretty bad too. And he's got to be a guy that steps up, because their role pieces are not emerging, and I think we've proven now, and Boston too is doing that, where it's like you need depth. And that's why the Knicks, to me, flipping over to the Eastern Conference, the way they're building that roster is telling me they know what they don't know, but what they're trying to do is like, hey, instead of having all these superstars and a help that, you know, Jalen Brunson just took a massive pay cut, we're just going to build depth, and we're going to have a second team that can roll out with, you know, Dante DiVincenzo and Josh Hart. And, you know, I don't know if Tyler Kolek will be a part of that, but like they're building this depth, which to me is so unique about where we are, where Phoenix has tried to do the Miami Heat thing.
Yeah.
It didn't work. But could it work? Maybe. With, you know, I mean, Booker and KD are that good. Bradley Beal wasn't that expensive to acquire, but he's expensive from a contract standpoint, and you can't trade him. So, yeah, it's... I was trying to say this last segment. I don't know if it came across, but like I kind of love the way the NBA is constructed, because we could talk ourselves. There is a clear, in my opinion, there's a clear best team, and they just won the NBA championship, and I don't think they got enough credit for how good they were.
Yeah, their two best players are in their prime, and it's kind of exactly what you're talking about with Denver last year. It's like they went on this dominant run, and it was just like it felt like we spent all the time just trying to diminish it, when it's like reality, the best team like coasted through the playoffs.
Right. And I mean, I think that the past two NBA finals had a lot of similarities.
Yep.
Where Jimmy Butler and the Miami Heat make this run, and it's, oh, Jimmy Buckets in the playoffs. He's like Jordan in the postseason. And they got smashed by Denver. And I just sat there and I'm like, what are we doing? Like, Denver's going to crush them. And they did. And then a little bit similar to this NBA Finals, where it was like, oh, man, they've been tested. They took down the team that beat the team. And now they're going to beat a Boston team that's coasted. And like, yeah, they were very fortunate. Boston was, with their route where they played Miami without Jimmy Butler. They played Indiana. No, they played Cleveland, and Donovan Mitchell got hurt, and Jared Allen didn't play in that series. And then they played, you know, Indiana, and they started to fall apart from a health standpoint too. But you just look at that roster, you're like, what are we doing here? And I mean, when Kristaps Porzingis went down, it got a little hairy for them, but. I mean, that team from top to bottom is the best team. I don't know how long they're going to be able to keep that together with all of the taxing and all that stuff, because they're paying those dudes a bunch of money. But I think, you know, back to what we were trying to figure out from the Western Conference standpoint, like Oklahoma City is built, I feel like, kind of like Memphis and Oklahoma City have some similarities, where you've got a superstar. And then you're trying to build behind that and trying to find these gems. And they, you know, obviously Triple J was a huge find in the draft. And I think that's where Memphis, the ceiling, we've seen the ceiling, man. We've seen what they're capable of getting up to that two seed.
Yeah. And to me, like, it, you know, part of this is if Edie is good, I think the thing that's exciting about it is it feels like for the last... God, I don't know, like almost most of my lifetime of watching basketball, there's kind of a way to do it. It's like you need three studs. You figure it out kind of from there. It now feels like maybe we're introducing variety. Like, yeah, you can try to do it that way. You got to keep everybody healthy. And maybe if you can, like maybe you can make a run and get a title that way. I mean, that's kind of what the Lakers did in the bubble, you know. But now we're starting to see there's more variety. And I think that's kind of what makes it interesting to me, because we're starting to see teams like, you know, hey, Minnesota for a period of the playoffs, we thought that was going to be the team that was going to take over the NBA. And they were doing it with two bigs and Ant, who was ascending. Well, and then they get popped. But then you start to go, well, maybe this is Luka's league. And I just think it's more when you see more styles and less of just repeat, everybody doing the same thing, I find it way more interesting.
Yeah, and I think now, too, the way that Oklahoma City's going about business, the way that Memphis is trying to build this roster, you're starting to see this isn't just has to be, okay, the free agents are going to dictate where we go. Yeah. You know, and once again, I mentioned it before the last break, like Milwaukee's a small town, and they had to make a big trade to get Damian Lillard, but they just got Gary Trent Jr. on what was probably a veteran minimum contract, and Gary Trent Jr. is definitely worth more money than that. So you're starting to see that percolate too in some of these different markets. So, like, I think the West is more interesting from a standpoint of I think there's going to be more competitive teams, but I feel like it's going to be a battle royale, barring health, in the Eastern Conference, where I think it's a pretty clear top four, and those teams are just going to duke it all the way out. And, you know, who knows? I mean, as we learned in the postseason this year, man, it's just a battle of attrition. And I look at those four teams now in the Eastern Conference, every one of those teams got better this offseason, in my opinion. You know, I heard Doc Rivers talking about it, I think on Simmons' podcast, where he said, like, this, you know, last offseason, maybe he was making excuses, whatever, but he was like, you know, Damian Lillard didn't, you know, want to train that hard because he didn't know where he was going to be going.
A Kings Island Gold Pass is your ticket to unlimited visits this year and all through 2025. Make the park your own with access to 2 years of tricks and treats, Halloween Haunt, and Winterfest, plus an expanded Soak City featuring the all-new dual racing water coaster River Racers coming in 2025. All for our lowest price of the season, just 10 payments of $9 after initial payment plus applicable taxes and fees. Hurry, price goes up September 3rd. Get your Gold Pass at visitkingsisland.com.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.